coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
Young people are told to go do something else, I'm too busy. They would rather be on the phone than to be with people because the phone is predictable. There are certain benefits to a mechanical device over a human being. Anyone who's had a difficult person in their life can speak to that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know how to communicate, if you're not taught how to do that well, then that can be the scariest thing imaginable.
Friends, and welcome back to Compassion Radio, where the eternal has a real weight, and the things of this world don't hold us down so much. Really, I'm serious about this. We don't tell stories of God's transforming power at work simply to ignore the weight of the world. We share them because the weight of glory is the real story, and it's no burden at all. When our source of strength and will comes from a wellspring of love, no effort is too much, no burden impossible to lift. I'm talking about God's kind of love, of course. In a world now consumed by loss, and mind you, the losses are very real, the kingdom of God has the temerity to suggest that we can be experiencing real joy, hope, and confidence right in the middle of it all. Perhaps nowhere does that audacious claim need to be tested more than in the pandemic of hopelessness that is plaguing us today, especially our young people. If you haven't kept up with the news, the numbers of suicides and attempted suicide are way, way up since the beginning of that other pandemic in 2020. Tony Ridgeway is back to dig right into that issue. As a writer, editor, and professional communications coach at work throughout publishing houses and the internet, she has the ability to tell the truth well, and she's got a story to tell about how the truth itself can really set us free. It did for her. Today we'll pick it up where we left off discussing the power of the lie when we're feeling hopeless and how she personally faced the darkest hour herself. Thanks for joining us today. And remember, if you or someone you love is facing depression right now that may threaten their life or you suspect it might, there are terrific and effective resources available that can help you right now, and they're absolutely free. I'll tell you more about that later in the broadcast.
I watch this on television now, and I just weep in my chair. I have two sons, 24 and 20, and they're watching their friends just doing exactly that. They're falling apart. One of the biggest issues is the isolation from what they consider to be what makes them okay, which is their friend group,
right?
From the people that reassure them that, yes, you're okay. Yes, we're all doing okay. Yes, that really stunk, but we're going to get through it together. We're going to go out. We're going to have fun. We're going to, you know, take care of things together. And they don't have that together anymore. Young people need that together. They're very, you know, the one another parts of the Bible are very, very applicable to teenagers.
Yeah.
They need each other to be mirrors of themselves. If they don't have that, they get very confused. At least that was my experience. If I couldn't find someone that would walk with me through this, being alone with it, there's no way to know if what you're doing is okay, what you're doing is not okay, if you can handle what's going to come next because you can't see it coming. Sometimes the people that are around you help you see things coming. And so when you don't have that, you don't have that view, it's frightening. And when you don't have the mirror to look at and you don't have people that are like you saying, you know what, it's this COVID thing. And you don't have someone to discuss it with and to play out scenarios and to sort of plan. They're alone. And being alone can be worse than anything. I see these kids that, you know, again, suicide rates are going up. Abuse rates are going up.
Yes, they are.
With young people because they can't get out of the house. And if they already have abusive relationships with parents or with brothers and sisters, or with uncles and aunts or grandparents that live within the house, they have domestic abuse problems, they have nowhere to go. They're stuck there in this abusive situation, and it just gets worse and worse and worse, and there's no place for them to go.
Okay, we stated the extremes to which people experience this, and that is probably exactly how people who are deciding to end their lives would say is the current reality, and I cannot live with that. When you were at your darkest, in your life, in your journey towards emotional health and understanding yourself as God's child in a real way. What held you back from that action, and what gave you hope to say, I can live another day?
That's a difficult question, in that suicidal ideation is unique. It's actually fairly common in issues with depression and anxiety, although most people don't act on them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to the point where the suicidal ideation is louder than your will to live, they start saying things like, why are you even here? Why do you even bother? You're just a burden to everyone anyway. It's never going to feel better than this. And if this is the best that's going to happen, you know, maybe it would just be easier if nobody had to take care of you. You know, those voices in your head start getting louder than the voice of Scripture in your own head. And that's when, over time, I've made commitments to my husband and to my doctors. I had to learn that those voices don't speak the truth. And that our brains don't always speak the truth. One of the things I learned from one of my clinicians was that we don't innately consider ourselves to be liars.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Okay. Well, we think in our heads we consider to be the truth.
Yeah.
What we tell ourselves. When your feelings start telling you lies, people that aren't aware of that fact will start to believe them.
Mm-hmm.
And so young people, especially young people who believe that the voices in their head are telling them the truth and are doing them their best interest, may start thinking that that is the way they need to go, because nobody's ever told them otherwise. Nobody's ever told them that their feelings can lie to them. Their feelings can lead them down a path that isn't true, that emotions are great tools, but they're lousy leaders.
Amen.
It's important to understand and hear your emotions, but they're not the only information you have.
Yeah.
There's lots of other tools you need to use, including Scripture, including people who know you well and love you, including people that have your best interest at heart, including God, including prayer, including, yes, all of those things that people told me I needed. They were all right, but all of them together is how you make that decision.
Yeah. So those who feel most isolated now, it's in some ways a virtual isolation. It's a weird time in history, because if you and I were going through COVID back in the 70s, we might be coping with it differently or finding other things to do or expanding our horizons right where we are and being creative with our physical bodies more. Most of communication today is virtual already, and yet we feel isolated even though we still have all these tools, because we're stuck at home, because we've lost our agency or our freedom to move about when we choose to do so, suddenly becomes like a prison sentence. We are now forced into our homes. We're forced to be around people that we don't want to be with.
Yeah.
Or some other kind of forced to. It's the idea, I think, that in this generation that we are so entitled to control of our bodies no matter what. It is leading many to believe that they cannot connect with others, even though how they connect with others is still right in the palm of their hand most of the time. It seems like a real strange disconnect.
I do think that's true, but I do think it's important to realize that if you're never taught that there are certain things you can do, which in some cases they're not. I think young people are told to go do something else, I'm too busy. Or, you know, you have a phone and they would rather be on the phone than to be with people, because the phone is predictable.
Yeah.
And the phone is with them all the time. There are certain benefits to, you know, a mechanical device over a human being. I think that, you know, anyone who's had a difficult person in their life can speak to that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know how to communicate and to establish a relationship with people, even new people, because you have new people in your life, you can't see the people you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to make connections with the people you don't know.
Yeah.
If you're not taught how to do that well, then that can be the scariest thing imaginable.
Yeah.
To approach somebody you don't know and try and start a conversation. It can be very, very difficult, especially for a young person who's accustomed to their own friend group.
Okay, Tony, I'm going to ask you to address two groups of people right now, because you have an inside knowledge and understanding of what it's like to go through these things. I'm going to ask you these questions because I believe that you also have a heart of love and hope and faith that God is capable and desirous of changing up the status quo for those who are suffering.
Yes.
He doesn't want you to settle for suffering. He doesn't intend for him to settle for suffering, because even Jesus, we hear from the Scripture, but for the joy set before him endured the cross. It wasn't because he thought he had nothing better coming to him.
Right.
So his perspective is very different on suffering.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to speak to those, first of all, who are depressed right now, that don't know how to connect, don't know how long this is going to drag on, and not sure they can make it through. And secondly, I want you to talk to the people who love them, the people in the family that might be around them, or parents that are worried about young people that are getting more and more depressed or are gaining weight and not exercising and withdrawing and those kind of things that are signs.
Yeah.
But first of all, talk to those like you, especially young people, that are suddenly burying, they feel like, the weight of the world now. They never thought they should have to, and it feels unfair.
I just speak to those. These are my heart, my soul, these young people. I worked with them for a long time. The most important thing I think they need to hear is, well, two things. Number one, what they're going through, what they feel, what they're going through is really very difficult. What they're going through is not something that they should be sucking up to. Just sort of normally okay with, or something that, you know, if they just tried harder, that it would be okay. No, this is very difficult. And what you're dealing with is unprecedented. And you're surrounded by a lot of grownups that really don't know how to deal with it themselves. And so when you see them not dealing with it, you tend to feel even more frightened. But the fact is that the situation we're in right now is very difficult. And what you're feeling is valid.
Yeah.
It's valid. And number two, the second thing they need to know is that, obviously, my mantra, that they matter. That what you feel matters. That what you care about matters. That what frightens you matters. And that you need to find the help that you need. And there is help out there, trust me. Because I have looked in every place you can look. And I have been told there is no help, and I can promise you there is. Keep looking. Find someone who has your best interest in heart, an adult. Couple up with them and get the help you need. Do whatever you have to do. But don't forget that God made you valuable, that God made you on purpose, that God has a plan and a purpose for your life and has never left. You may feel like he's gone, but he has never left. He's working on your behalf. He will only let it go so far. Pray to him. Find someone to help you and get the help. And do not stop until you get it. Insist. Insist that you get the help you need because you deserve it. God says you deserve it because you are valuable. You are a child of his. He does not want you hurting like this.
That Christians are not exempt from much of the suffering in this world should be a no-brainer. But there's a lot of misguided theology out there that amounts to victim-blaming, as if willpower alone is the solution to everything. It's a false gospel at best, and it denies reality and makes no room for true grace or God's power. Please don't get stuck there and let pride keep you from reaching out for the help that you need, Christ-centered and compassionate help. If you or someone you know is struggling with the kind of mental or spiritual struggles that are stealing joy, hope, and the will to live, our friends at DeathToLife.com have real solutions and hope for you. If you're young or old, the same struggles with isolation, purpose, and meaning can rapidly steal our hope, especially in times like we find ourselves in right now. If you're struggling, the bravest thing you might ever do is to open your browser to DeathToLife.com. That's Death, the number two, life.com. I can't recommend these caring and competent people enough. And thanks to you, friends, for the way you stand with Compassion Radio to make this program possible each day, as we get the word out on these vitally needed ministries and inspiring stories to go with them. Your prayers and financial support are absolutely essential. Without you, there is no Compassion Radio. Call us today at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or log on to CompassionRadio.com right now to make your gift and learn more about what we do. You'll also find links to each of our daily broadcasts and subscription links to all of our daily podcast releases on every major platform. It's all there for you at CompassionRadio.com. Check it out today. And now, back to my discussion with Tony Ridgway. those who deal with those who love those who are watchful and mindful of those who are suffering, and they don't know what to do. What's your encouragement?
My encouragement to them is, especially parents, that number one, your child struggling is not necessarily a representation of your parenting skills. Mm-hmm. Okay? That child may be suffering due to all kinds of situations, not just some failure on your part. Don't be frightened to address the issue that's going on with your child, as you may find out that you've done something wrong, or that you missed something in their upbringing, or that you were raised in a way that you were not able to see what was going on. It is never too late to help that child, to help that young person see things differently. You can do it. Number two, there is, like I said, with the young people, there is help. There is good help. And it's important not to be pigeonholed into one type of help because you don't understand the other type.
Yeah.
In my opinion, God can use anything and anyone for his glory. Does not have to be a believer.
Mm-hmm.
I have learned a great deal from non-Christian physicians, and the things that they say to me, I realize that God is speaking to me through this non-Christian physician, because what he's saying to me is found in the Bible. You know, it's you that has to know God's voice.
Yeah.
That's important. The person you're speaking to, the secular physician, doesn't necessarily have to know. You have to know when you hear it. And God can speak through that secular physician, and you can hear his voice while you're sitting in front of him while they're saying it. You're saying, oh, that's God speaking to me right then, because it's scriptural. The help is there, and you do not have to do it alone. And because you don't understand what kids are doing or why they're doing it or how they're doing it, doesn't make you a bad parent, okay? It makes you someone who has a problem, and the best thing you can do is come beside your child, sit next to them and say, I know you're suffering. I see it. I love you. God loves you. And you and I are going to lock arms and move forward, and we are going to find a solution to this no matter what it is.
Yeah.
We're not going to let you suffer like it. We're together on this, all three of us.
There's another group of people that I did not mention earlier that I think we ought to cycle around to. If you don't mind, from someone who speaks from inside unexpected, unwelcome suffering, could you also speak to those right now who have lost somebody, whether through suicide or through COVID itself? These are all unjust and unexpected and unwanted losses. And yet God has a truth and has a compassion for them. I'm sure of that. But it seemed almost trite for someone like me who has not had a direct impact in my immediate family to say much. You've been very close to these things, and you've been close to those who have lost. Can you speak right now to those who are dealing with grief?
First of all, my heart goes out to you, that I just weep for those who have loved and lost. They haven't just lost people, they've lost businesses, they've lost direction, they've lost their purpose. This is all grief and loss. And my heart just aches as I'm even speaking these words to you. Grief is different than any other kind of suffering. It doesn't work in a linear fashion. Physical healing tends to work in a linear way. You progress very normally. However, grief doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
It comes and goes and moves and circles around and comes back. And you thought you were past this in your grief progression, and you find out that you're not, that you're still upset as you were when you began, that it creeps up on you, you know, while you're in a grocery store, that you start crying because you see a label that reminds you of your grief. You hear a song that reminds you of your grief. It could be anywhere, and it could hit you hard. That's the nature of grief, and nobody's good at it. Nobody is good at grief. The only thing that really moves forward, that really makes grief move forward, is time, love. Those are the only two things that really work. You know, as God took care of Elijah in the middle of the desert, when he said, I'm done, I just, the journey's too tough. Let him minister to you. Let it in the presence of God. And if you can't say anything, don't. Just sit in the presence of God and let him bring the self-care. Let him bring love to your pain. Let him remind you of his love. Let him remind you that he also suffered grief, that he had to watch his son suffer and die, that's something he felt.
Yeah.
So he can relate to your hurt and your heartbreak. moving forward, I don't think grief is something that you ever really get over, the loss. I think you just change. God changes you through grief, but you don't necessarily ever really get over the loss of someone you love. I think it just changes your heart. It changes the shape of your heart and soul. And you have to live around that state for a while. But God will teach you how. Again, that person, as I've always, you know, as I said to young people, I say to parents, you matter too.
Yeah.
And your pain is real. And your pain is valid. And I want to honor the pain that you feel, because the pain is directly proportional to the love that you feel. The love that you felt for the loss is, you know, more love, more grief. And that love should be honored. And that grief should be honored. I'm just begging you, please don't try to do this alone. Don't try to live your grief alone. Don't suffer alone. God did not make us to suffer alone. Go to God. Go to someone you trust who has your best interest at heart. But don't do it alone.
Yeah.
My husband saved my life by saying, your perception of yourself isn't healthy, and it's not going to progress you. It's not going to help you progress. I love you. I'm going to help you progress. We're going to do it together. Saved my life.
Yeah, and that is the answer there, relationship and love. I mean, the alternative is no solution at all, which is to shut off and not feel anything.
Sometimes you don't have a lot of control over that, like I didn't. I didn't have a lot of control of my feelings shutting down.
Yeah.
So that's why someone who loves you, who has your best interest at heart, who knows God, knows you, is vitally important to help you get through those moments when your brain lies to you.
For those who have no hope, pain tells you you're not worth anything. For those who do have hope, pain reminds you that you're alive. And I'm praying that the kind of pain that God would allow at times like this would be the kind that reminds us how much He loves us and how much we're worth something to Him.
Yeah.
And that's all we can say right now, Tony, about that particular part of your life. I'm so glad you've been willing to share honestly about your journey through depression and healing, the struggles that are surrounding that, and the truth of God's scripture, which sustained you through it. But not just the written word, the people that embodied that word that brought the truth to you. Thank you so much for your story and sharing it with us on Compassion Radio.
Thank you. I really hope it's helpful.
Who are we that you would be mindful of us? What do you see that's worth looking our way? We are free in ways that we never should be. Sweet relief from the grip of these chains. Straining from the
A quick reminder out there that our friends at deathtolife.com are there to help you or someone you know that might struggle with the things that Tony's been talking about on today's program. Don't hesitate to visit them today to learn more about how you can find real hope in real life right now. The address again is deathtolife.com. That's death, the number two, life.com. Know that we're in this ministry for you and because of you. Visit us at CompassionRadio.com. Call us at 1-800-868-2478 or write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Remember, there is no Compassion Radio without your prayer and your consistent financial support. We'll see you tomorrow.